So we're going to begin Acts chapter 1, and we're going to see how far we go. In John, one of the greatest themes of the book of John is found in John 12, John 14, John 17, where I am. If any man serve me, where I am, there shall he be also. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, or many dwelling places. And where I am, there shall you be also. Father, I will they be with me where I am to behold my glory. The final last day bride of Christ will be able to move in the dimensions of the I am, where I am. And where I am will go beyond time, space. Where I am will go into the realm of God's glory that was, is to come. Limitations are going to be removed from us. We're not just going to be a church that learns nice things. We're going to learn to operate in our God-given authority and who we are as new creations. When you were born again, you were born with a capacity to operate with God as co-heirs, joint heirs. And he has to teach us how to do that. Some people think that's just going to fall on them. It's not going to fall. You have to learn. There are many ways to walk with God, but the higher realms, which God is trying to get us to, can shake heaven and earth. It can literally shake the kingdoms of this world, can shake when God can position heirs to operate in these realms. So that said, I want to rehearse a few things we said before, and I want to kind of go back into the face of God. So in chapter 1 of Acts 1, verse 6, the Lord, at this point, he has been raised from the dead. He hasn't ascended to his Father yet. He's conversing during that 50-day time frame or whatever it was between the time he ascended to the Father and the time he raised from the dead. He appeared to Peter 6 different times during that time. He appeared to the apostles, appeared to all the ladies first. All the ladies got to see him first. They got to go tell the apostles what happened, and they weren't even believing him. The Lord had to rebuke the apostles because they were not listening to the word of the ladies. They'd seen him. We've seen him. He's risen. And they're going, yeah, right. These are the guys that, you know, started the church. Hallelujah. They're talking to him in a resurrected state. They got the privilege of doing that. Verse 6. And he said, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put under his own power. Notice what he says, not for you to know the times and the seasons. What he's saying to them, this is not your generation. This wasn't for you. Because what they wanted is now that he's raised from the dead, how much more can you be our king now? You were raised from the dead. Let's get back to the David and Solomon era now. Let's get back to the rule. Let's go smite the Romans. Get us out from under Roman occupation. Put us back in as the head of the nations like we were before. Give us the preeminence of all nations. Put the trading market back in Jerusalem like it was in Solomon. Give us authority with the power, with the people, with wealth. And give us the open heaven so if the nations come to pray in your house. That's what they were wanting. He said, no. What I want is a new creation. I don't want spiritually dead men ruling over the nations. I want to create a new breed. And you're going to be my witnesses of my resurrection. And my spirit's going to be on you. And your witness, eyewitness testimony. And we're going to create this first message they come out of the gate with 3,000 born again. And then the next one, 5,000. I mean, you know what it takes to get 3,000 people born in one setting in America? I mean, you gotta get a stadium, you gotta spend $1 million on advertisement, you gotta get, at least, 100,000 Christians together just to get 3,000 people born again. But in that setting, without advertisement, the Holy Spirit, whoo, isn't that awesome? Because that's what he was doing. Now, and what he was saying to them was this, it's not for your generation, that belongs to another generation. And if you really want to know what was happening, because they wanted that David and Solomon era, he was actually taking that throne and that crown and all the inheritances that built that throne and crown. That was Mount Hebron. Well, that is the place David was crowned. coming out of Ziklag. That mountain forged a crown. Once that inheritance forged a crown, they brought it in Jerusalem. And when he brought the ark together with the crown, it went bam. And when it exploded into that generation, and that's what they were looking for. But God was taking all of that and he was going to reassign it. And it's really important to understand this. All that was a natural inheritance built by God with covenant men in the earth. It was a throne. It was a lineage of kings. It was a dominion. There was wealth with it. There was glory with it. But he took it all into the heavens. And I want to show you that in Acts chapter 2. So go to Acts chapter 2 and I'm going to show you the reassignment. God reassigned. He reassigned your spirit. You know that you were a product of Adam, your spirit. When you were born again, like you guys are going to get baptized today, you're going to go under. See, that's the bearing of Adam. And when you come up new, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He reassigns you to a new creation. He took you spiritually, eternally dead spirit and reassigned you to life. You were a sinner saved by grace. You're no longer a sinner saved by grace. You're a bona fide son now. You are a new creation with new creation rights to operate in the heavenlies and in the earth. You have authority to walk up and down in his name if you're taught. You have authority to walk in the realm of his glory if you know how. Amen? So God reassigned. He took this natural dominion and this throne. And by the way, when David was ruling with his crown, Solomon said, there is neither adversary or evil occurrence anywhere in my kingdom. Solomon didn't pay a price for this. David put down all of Mammon of that day. All the kings were put down. All the authority was put down. He put it all down before he gave it to Solomon. That was the authority of this crown. Christ is the inheritor of that crown. He was the inheritor of Abraham. And God took that throne, its dominion, that crown, and all of its glory, all of its heritage, all of its legacy, and reassigned it into the heavens, and allowed it to be cut off in the earth. That's why in, I think, AD 70, everything was burned to ground, because that's not where God was anymore. He was working with a new creation, but he was going to bring it back in another day. Now let me show you this in Acts chapter 2, 29. This is real important you see this. It's super important to understand what's going on in your generation. What I'm saying to you is so important. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, what was born out of his loins, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, David, seeing this before, spake of what? The resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, who God has raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, swore that Christ would sit on his throne. This spake of the resurrection. Psalms 2 prophesied this. He says, I will declare the decree, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. I will set my king on the holy hill of Zion. Ask of me the nations as thine inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth is thy possession. You know what he's prophesying there? Christ in his ascension into the Ancient of Days. Daniel saw the ascension of Christ as he entered into the Ancient of Days. And there was restored to him the kingdom. God reassigned David's throne. Christ never sat upon David's throne in the earth. Not a single day did he do that. And yet he sits on David's throne now. Because the Bible says, how did he sit on an earthly throne? Because God took the earthly throne up into the heavens. That's a huge mystery, by the way. He took the crown, the throne, the inheritance, heritage. He took all of that up into the heavens. He spiritualized it. He invisibilized it. He removed it from the earth because you couldn't see it no more. But it's still living. Your eye couldn't see it. It cannot be seen. That's why he said he blessed you with all the spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. God, we need them in the earth. He goes, I know that. I asked the Lord one day, I said, why did you do that? Why did he put our inheritance in heavenly places? You know why he did it? He did it because the first man, Adam, he gave all that authority, all that dominion to, he gave it to the devil. While Eve was eating from the tree, Adam was standing right there, watching over us. Oh, give me a bite. You go first. So when the Lord restored, retrieved the inheritance, the Bible says when he came out of the depths, he was raised up and crowned with glory and honor, made to have dominion. He restored it all there at the right hand of God. He put it all there above principalities and powers so the devil couldn't steal it again. He has no right. That's why when the Lord appeared to Paul, you know what he said to him? He said, preach remission of sins to the lost and inheritance to those that are sanctified. There is riches and glory in heavenly realms. It's spiritual. You can't see it, but it's yours. And there is a way to get it. You gotta be trained. That's what you're here for. To be trained how to operate in that realm. To access the realm. Which is unlimited. My God shall supply all of your need according to the riches in the earth. My God shall supply all your need according to riches in glory. There's a whole realm there. The enemy can't steal. He'll steal from you here. How many of you have been stolen from here? While we're young and dumb, he can steal from us. It just happens. You're living in a realm. He has certain authority to operate here, but we have a realm that's greater in authority, but we have to be trained for it. We have access. That's why we preach inheritance. Well, where is it? That's what we're learning. It's right here if you want to know the... If you could see the canvas of my spirit, woo! We've been painting some really awesome stuff up in there. Your spirit's a canvas. The enemy knows that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So now these things are in the heavenlies. I was praying one time in Immokalee, Florida. The Lord wakes me up that morning early. When he wakes me up early, he wants to talk to me. When I'm sitting there, I start praying. I get caught up in what you would understand as a counter. It was a very real encounter. My spirit gets pulled up. And I feel like I'm moving up. And as I'm moving up, I can see what looked like... It was a spiritual encounter, but it looked like a New York skyline times four. But it was all golden. And there was millions of people I could see, but I was still moving. But when you're in the encounter and in the true encounter of God, you don't have to say words. You can communicate by thought. That's just the way it is in heaven. I thought, what is all these people? And as soon as I thought, it was the Lord. I know it was there. I didn't see his face. I'm like, what's he look like? I'm like, this is not the way I saw it. He was there. He was taking me, but he was talking to me and he waved his hand like this. I saw him go like this. He goes, this, and he didn't call it a city. He said, this is the room of my blessing. And everybody that's here are partaking of the blessings. All that understand how to be blessed, he was telling me, they're in that city. I'm like, wow. But we were moving. We passed through. It looked like a dark cloud. Like, you know how you're in an airplane and you'll move through a cloud, you know, and then you break through the cloud and you can see the cloud. That's what it felt like when I went up there and I ended up on top of this mountain. And there was a door. It was like an ancient door on the top of this mountain. And this one said on the top of the door, room of inheritance. And immediately when I walked in, the doors like open and I stepped in. It was almost like, have you seen that movie, National Treasure? You know how they walk in before they light it up? They know it's up in there, but they can't see, and then they light it up. It's like I stepped in, and he started lighting it up, and it looked like that room. It had unimaginable wealth. Back then, I didn't even understand. It had bonds and gold and certificates and things that I'm now seeing come out into the open, like generational wealth and generational bonds and things. And when I was there, the first thing I asked, what is this room? The Lord said, he goes, this is the riches in glory. And I said, why is it so dark in here? So he said, the reason it's so dark and the other one's so full of light, because all of the revelations on that former room, that's what my people have been trained in. This one, they must be trained in the last days. He said, they must be trained to understand and access this room. I didn't realize at the time, I now know I was looking at the wealth of the house of David. The one I was talking about that was taken up into the heavens. He reassigned all the wealth of Solomon. It's all in the heavens. It's an unlimited house. And we walked back out the gate and I'm standing there and he took something like it was like the shape of a key, but it was wide. It was like 6 inches wide. But it looked like a key. It looked like it was like a block of glory. I don't know how to explain that. Like a solid block of glory. And the key, and he took it and he shoved it in my spirit. And immediately I came out and I'm like, oh my God. I was so caught up in the glory for like 2 or 3 days after this. And immediately this message started coming. I thought it was the key of everything. It's the law of the sanctified imagination. I didn't understand what God was saying at the time, and he was just beginning this walk we're on of understanding how to access, by way of your God-given belief system in Christ, to access the realm of the riches and glory. Because riches and glory don't get accessed by human sufficiency. Riches and glory get accessed by faith. But not just faith, but faith in the face of God. It's a belief system that gets transformed by a living word. It's the capacity to dwell in a word that has not come into the earth yet, but is living inside of you. And it's full of life, and it's full of imagery, and it's full of design. And since then, he put us on a path to understand how to access this realm. Now it's turned into this house, because when we were playing that song, Bride of Christ, earlier, we think Bride of Christ, everyone has their own image of the bride. The Bride of Christ is the bride of the King. He's returning as King. This bride is royalty. She's not just a woman. She is absolute royalty. He's coming back for a royal bride. She's royalty. She's of the house of David. She is without spot, without wrinkle, full of glory, and a functioning in dominion. This is what he's returning to. So that bride is the royalty of heaven. God is returning all this to the earth. That throne that got up into the heavens, that house got up in the heavens, that's what he's going to rule with in the earth. Isaiah says, unto us a child has been born. Unto us a son has been given. The government is upon his shoulders, and the increase of this government and peace, there is no end. You understand, Solomon administrated a government upon the throne of David to establish it henceforth and forever. That throne, that crown, that house, all of its treasuries, all of its inheritances, going all the way back to every promise made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In thee all the families of the earth will be blessed. In thy seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All of that must return to the earth and manifest in this natural realm. It has to legally return to the earth, and it can't just be dropped out of heaven. It was legally brought up into heaven. It has to be legally brought back. It has to be brought back by those who understand authority, because God has to have human authority to bring that back into the earth. He has to have somebody with feet on boots on the ground As long as I got a body, I got boots on the ground. But somebody has to understand how this house is returning to the earth. That is the promises. That is what this house has been. We've been working out as a mystery, but that is the best way to describe what this house is about. A word was given 35 years ago. That word expanded supernaturally. Now we have a constitution for the return of that crown, for the return of that house, the return of that throne, to bring it back into the earth in a time before we leave the earth. God is going to manifest that house again, and he's going to take us from being a church to a house of royalty. Okay, go to Revelations chapter 3. Now, it's a dynamic because the spiritual now has to come natural again. The Bible says you're a royal priesthood. Now, God foresaw these events, so through signs, he did certain things. I'll show it to you. I always just exhort this, but I'll show it. Hold your finger and we'll come back. Go to Zechariah 6. He gives a sign of what's going to happen. He's going to take a priesthood or a church. Verse 9 in Zechariah 6. Take of them of the captivity, which are from Babylon, and come thou the same day. God's going to make entrance to the Babylonian system again and go into the house of Josiah. Then take silver and gold from Babylon, make crowns. Set them on the head of Joshua. Well, who's Joshua? He's a high priest. He's symbolic of the church. But they're about to set him on a king's throne. Nobody ever did this. You always separated priest and king, always. But now God is going to put them together. He's going to put the priest on a king's throne. And he's symbolically doing this for a generation that's actually going to happen to. And he says, he goes, speak of them saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, the man whose name is the branch. See, he's speaking symbolic. He will grow up out of this place and he will build the temple of the Lord. Even he will build the temple and bear the glory. He will sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon the king's throne, and a council of peace will be between the two offices. He's going to merge the two offices. He's going to merge the church. What we know is church right now. He's about to merge it with true kingdom royalty. Now go to Revelation chapter 3. So Revelation 3 verse 7. Angel, this is actually the word messenger. Same word for John the Baptist. I'll send my messenger to the church. They are messengers to churches. We're messengers. These things saith he that is holy. He that is what? True. He that hath what? Key of David. Actually, if you look at Isaiah 22, when it was prophesied he would give to Eliakim, it's the only other time it's mentioned, the key to the house. You understand? House of David is not like your house. House of David is a house of royalty. You're born with privilege. You're born into royalty. You're born into governance. You're born into dominion. You are in a realm and you operate in the realm of dominion. That is who you are, to rule, to reign. You're born into a house. You were meant, when a son is born in a house of royalty, that son or daughter is meant to reign. That's what they do. They are going to be trained to reign. Say, trained to reign. Trained to reign. Trained to reign. Trained to reign. They're trained to rule and reign because they're royalty. They grow up in royalty. They understand privilege. That's the house. If you want to know what that looks like, look at Solomon. That was the picture. Solomon's rule. Even nations could come. They didn't even know God. All they do is walk up in the temple and pray. God would answer their prayer and then they know. Oh my God, this is the true God. That's why they were being converted. The glory that was on that house was unmeasurable. The Queen of Sheba. Do you understand what she brought? She brought a train of camels. Modern day wealth would be around $60 million. That was her offering. In them days, they brought the offering. You know why they brought the offerings? Because he was ruling. He had the center of all commerce running out of Jerusalem, running out of the church. The church was the seat of commerce, not doves. I'm not talking about selling of doves in the temple door. That's people stealing your money before you walk in. I'm talking about the commerce of heaven that's blessing people. That's administration of generational wealth and administration of his government. Solomon was the preacher. He was the evangelist. He was the king. All of that was a foreshadowing of Christ. When he walked up into the glory and the minister of attendance and everybody were all in such governmental perfection the way they did things, nobody was out of order. And he entered into the glory and he walked up and disappeared in the glory. The Queen of Sheba, she lost it. She have no more spirit left in me. The wisdom exceeds the glory, the wealth. His throne was an ivory throne with 12 golden lions on it. He had a naval fleet that would just go out and find the treasures of the earth. They had so much wealth, they had literal silver that were stones that people would sit on because it was valued as nothing in that day. Because there's so much everywhere. In the Holy of Holies, there was over 600 pounds of gold used alone in the Holy of Holies. Everything was overshadowed with gold. You know why they wanted to dig up the foundation stone of the temple? Because Solomon ordered those stones to be overlaid in pure silver and pure gold. These are 25 by 100-foot stones. Overlay them in pure silver. Overlay them in pure gold. Everything was so perfect. Queen of Sheba just lost it. She has no more spirit. She was a queen. She was used to being impressed or not impressed. The Bible says this happened to every king on the earth. They came up in the glory. This was what they were asking the Lord. Can we return to this? He said, this is not for your generation. There is a generation that's coming now that I am going to return into. This generation, I'm going to send my crown first before I step foot down on the Mount of Olives and rule for 1,000 years. That's what it's going to look like, by the way. You and I are going to be there with him. Depending on what we do for him in this earth, your determination of your position with him is what you do for him here. The administration of his government, but he's going to send his crown in front of himself. The church gets to usher in the house of David. Go to Haggai chapter 2. I want you to see these. Normally I just say it, but I want you to see it in your Bible. Because sometimes you'll read through it and you'll read something and you may not understand the full ramification of what he's saying. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. Yet once it is a little while, I'll shake the heavens and the earth. You're living in that time right now. This is going to happen. I will shake all nations and the treasures of all nations will come. I will fill this house, what? With glory, what? He'll fill the church or the house? The silver's mine, the gold is mine. The glory of this latter house will be greater than the former. The former, speaking of Solomon's house, God is prophesying a latter day house, not church. It's important to understand that that's never happened. That prophecy has never happened. In fact, that house got taken in the heavens, which means God has to return it to the earth and has to manifest its glory into the earth again. And it has to exceed and rival and go beyond what was before it. Both in glory and in wisdom and government and finance, commerce. And manifested glory, all of that has to exceed before we're lifted out of here. When he was chosen by David to rule, he went before God. He said, I don't know how to come in or go out. I don't even know what I'm doing, God. I have no clue. Has anybody ever been there? This is such a great kingdom. It's such a great, you know, all these promises. It's very overwhelming that you've chosen me and I don't know what I'm doing. And God gave him wisdom and the administration of wisdom. So much the kings of his day came out to hear him. And they were being converted. Kings, kingdoms, people were coming in. Mass conversion, the devil. He had to stop that. And nobody ever seen anything like it. And it's all returning again. Before we're out of here. We have to express it in part. We have to express it. We're not going to establish that kingdom, but he's sending that crown in front. Well, how do you know that? I'm glad you asked. Go to Revelation 3. This is one of the most profound chapters to the messenger of the church of Philadelphia. There's a message to this church. No church was spoken to like this one. No church was given what this one's given. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, or the messenger, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key to the house of David. Christ has the key. He's the inheritor of the house. We've proven that today. He that openeth, and no man will shut it. He that shutteth, and no man will open. I know your works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man will shut it. You've had little strength, but you've kept my words. The word of the promise of the return of my house. I have the key, saith the Lord, and I'm going to open this house to you, a church. And I'm going to bring this house that was reassigned to me in the heavens, I'm bringing it back into the earth, and it's going to rest upon a church for a season before you're lifted out from the earth. Even this, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews that are not, but do lie. I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved thee. Do you know who that's talking about? They're talking about it's the people that are in control of the global wealth machine. Jewish elite people that say they know God, but they do not know God. They belong to another synagogue. Their whole system, what's he talking about? He's talking about a crown. He's talking about a house being open. Here's another house in the earth, and I'm going to make that house. They're not going to come bow down at your feet. Don't even think they're going to do that. That's not what he's saying. He's going to make that system that they're operating called the Babylonian system is going to bow down under your feet for a season. Because I'm going to give you something above that system. I'm going to open that system. I'm going to open by the house of David. And I'm bringing it all back into the earth. That which was been into the heavens. I'm going to bring it all back up into the earth. And that system for a season will bow down. How do we know it's a last day church? Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. He's talking about a church. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which will come upon the entire world and they that dwell upon the earth. What do you think that hour of temptation is talking about? 7-year tribulation. Speaking of an end time church, he goes, you will be kept from this hour, meaning you're a church that precedes the 7-year tribulation. You're a church that's going to receive the crowning glory, but I'm going to keep you from that hour. You're going to be redeemed from that hour. You're going to walk with me. You're not going to be a part of that. Behold, I come quickly. Do you think he's talking about the end time church? Hold thou fast what you have been given. Let no man, said, let no man take your crown. No church was ever spoken to like that. The only other church promised a crown was one in the afterlife. No church was given a crown in the earth. This one will. A house of royalty is coming. Another baptism, if you will. The 7 spirits of God in Revelation 5 will be poured out into the earth. We are all going to go through Jacob's gate. We are all going to be baptized into royalty. We are all going to receive a mandate of the crown and exercise and operate in this royalty before we leave the earth. It's the most profound move of God in all of history. And we are right up in the middle of it. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.